Well, hello once again, ladies and gentlemen. The MSS crew would like to thank you for joining us here in the Fred Bertelsen Memorial Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. And this is your MSS host, Luis Jr., assisting with bringing to you yet another exciting and exhilarating internet broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. So, everybody, open up your ears for the OTR stylings of Joy Jackson. So, let's just take a minute here to sit back, relax, grab a cold drink and a snack, and enjoy the program. JJ, the microphone is yours.
Thanks, Louise. Welcome to the MSS edition of Treasures Old and New from ART. First up today is an ART recording of a lost radio show from Escape, originally broadcast on June 28, 1953. A sheriff in the Old West grapples between the law and serving justice when his kid brother is murdered. Starring Cliff Carpenter and Kevin O'Morrison, with Dave Parker, we recorded it in 2005. Here's 1/8 Apache.
Tired of the everyday grind? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape.
Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
You are alone with a murderer, a man who has killed your brother, and against whom you have sworn revenge. While unknown to you, your enemy is plotting his own move, which, if he succeeds, will mean defeat for you and an end from which there is no escape.
So listen now as Escape brings you Peter B. Kind's exciting story, 1/8 Apache.
There's something about pulling a man's nose that'll drive him plumb crazy. It's a real low-down, contemptible trick. It'd anger a sheep. A man can walk away from an insult, but pull his nose and he'll go loco, do all sorts of things he otherwise have more sense to do. And that's what Ty Burgess did to my kid brother. So Jack went for a gun against a killer he was no match for, and Burgess just drilled him nice and neatly. That's why I went looking for Mr. Ty Burgess right after the burial. I rode out of Calico City sundown Thursday last and crossed the desert for Trade Rat, a small mining camp at the southeast toe of Ship Mountain, San Bernardino County. That's where Mr. Burgess would be, I had reason to believe.
Why, hello there, sir.
Morning, Ed.
Haven't seen you around Trade Rats in weeks.
Yeah, that's the truth. You seen Ty Burgess around, Ed?
Burgess? No, I ain't seen him, Sheriff. And that's the way I like it.
Thanks, Ed.
Well, ain't you going to come on in and set a spell?
Not right now, thanks. Morning, Sid.
Right, well, sure ain't seen much of you.
How's the wife?
Oh, just fine.
You seen anything of Ty Burgess about?
No, I ain't seen him. Peter Lawler said he was in town, but I ain't seen him. Hey, say, Martha's roasting up. Hey, what's the matter?
Now, who would you say that is going into the pick and drill, Sid?
Huh? I'd say it was Ty Burgess.
Yeah, so would I. See you around. Ty Burgess was alone, and that was fine with me. He moseyed up the plank steps and on into the pick and drill saloon like he had a lot of time. A real thin, seedy-looking fellow with a narrow face. He gave the impression of being weak. That's what fooled at least 5 men I knew of. I pushed on into the pick and drill. He was standing at the end of the bar, and the barkeep was just setting him up with a bottle of whiskey.
All right, just leave the bottle.
Good morning.
Huh?
I understand you're Mr. Ty Burgess.
Supposing I am. What's it to you?
Just this. Now, hold on, Mr. Burgess. I wouldn't draw if I were you. You'd look kind of foolish. Unbuckle, Mr. Burgess, and set it on the bar. Only move kind of slow. That's just fine. All right, now, gentlemen, take your seats. You can see just as well without crowding.
Oh, what is this? Who are you?
My tin star tells you I'm sheriff newly elected San Bernardino County named Joe Murdoch. You killed my kid brother, Jack, in Calico City.
Well, it was self-defense. 20 men saw it. 20 men will swear it was self-defense.
You pulled his nose, Mr. Burgess.
Well, that didn't give him cause to go for his leather. You're sheriff. You know that. Pulling a man's nose ain't nothing more than a breach of the peace or something.
Jack weren't a man, Mr. Burgess. He was a kid.
It was self-defense. 20 men will swear.
All right. I didn't come to arrest you, Mr. Burgess. Nothing so foolish.
Well, in that case, I'll just go back to my drinking. Give me another glass, Stan.
Put down that bottle. Mr. Burgess, pay attention. I'm not through talking. That's better. Now, this here call of mine, Mr. Burgess, is strictly unofficial. To prove it, I'll just remove my little star and check this hardware. Now, Mr. Burgess, I'm going to give you the only thing I can under the circumstances. When I get back to the county seat, I'll plead guilty to assault and battery, pay a $5 fine, and vindicate the law, which I am sworn to uphold. Do you understand, Mr. Burgess?
I understand, Sheriff.
Mr. Burgess, and I would like to borrow one of your small back rooms to start settling up a personal matter.
Sure, Mr. Murdoch.
Mr. Ty Burgess bled easily. I cut his face with the first good blow, but he had a lot of fight, so the affair was a rather lengthy and interesting one. But when I bounced him off the wall with another blow, Mr. Burgess' knees began to give. I didn't want him down just yet, so I moved to him quickly and worked over his stomach. I could see him turning sick, and then finished up on his face, and he went cold. On your feet. Now, you listen to me, Mr. Burgess. Listen real carefully, because I'm not going to repeat. The grand jury's sitting right now talking about you. They're going to issue an indictment, and I'm going to be given a warrant for your arrest. Naturally, if I got a warrant, I got to serve it, being a sheriff. Are you listening?
I'm listening.
That'd mean I'd have to pull you in, and you'd come up for trial. I have no objection to that, excepting you may be acquitted. To that, I have the most serious objections. I don't want you off scot-free. I want to kill you. Now, I can only do that fair and square, so I'm going to give you a chance.
A chance? What are you talking about?
Just this. I'm going to give you an hour start on a trade rat. Then I'm coming after you, not as a sheriff, but as Jack Murdoch's brother.
Fair and square, you said. You took my gun, I ain't got a rifle like
you. You get your gun back. I'll furnish you with a rifle as good as mine and 1 hour head start.
All right. If you get me then, you're welcome. I won't kick none.
You will when I get you, Ty Burgess. Don't forget you killed my brother.
I don't forget nothing. Not even that licking you just gave me.
That's fine, but that's just the beginning. I'm telling you right now, I'll kill you 100 times before you die.
I don't scare worth a cent. You should know that.
No, how about rattlesnakes? Just the thought of snakes makes you shiver, doesn't it? Now, let me just tell you one thing more. My grandmother was a half-breed Mojave Apache.
So what?
So that makes me 1/8 Apache. 7/8 white man, 1/8 Apache. I'm coming after you not as a white man and a sheriff, but as Jack Murdoch's brother and Apache. When I catch up with you, I'm going to peg you out Apache fashion. Then I get a big rattler, run a buckskin through his tail, stick him out in front of you. Every time he strikes, he'll miss your face by 1/2 inch, and about the time you're 3/4 crazy, I'll pour some water on the buckskin, and it'll stretch just enough.
You would do that, wouldn't you?
I sure would, unless you want to come back to Calico City with me and confess to the premeditated killing of my brother, which it was, in truth. And then I'll be just as pleased to handle the hanging.
I'll take my chance out in the desert.
Fair enough. Come on. Let's get your horses and a rifle. 40 rounds of cartridges and we're even. In exactly 1 hour, I'm following you. After that, Mr. Burgess, you're responsible for what happens.
We'll return to escape in just a moment. But first, help ensure that no call for blood will go unheeded. Whether it's for gamma globulin to control a child's polio or for whole communities in time of disaster, the Red Cross can answer the call only if you have first given blood. Phone your local Red Cross chapter. Make an appointment to give a painless pint to relieve human suffering. And now, back to escape.
A.M. Ty Burgess rode out a trade rat on a stout buckskin bronco carrying grain, grub, and water on the saddle. I took my big Roman-nosed roan, a range pony crossed with a thoroughbred for speed and stamina, onto the feed corral. Watered, fed, and curried him. Next, I made a trip to the supply store, bought some flour, dried beef, and tea. 12 o'clock, straight up. I hooked a 2-gallon canteen of water from the pommel of my Mexican saddle, checked my 30-30 carbine, and mounted my pony. Swung her into a gentle lope and headed off on the trail for Ty Burgess. I just made the edge of Trade Rat when I saw Sandy James loping in from Calico City way.
Joe! Hey, Joe, hold up!
Sandy was a dry gray little man, bailiff at the county courthouse.
Yeah, sure am glad I caught up with you.
What brings you in?
I got something for you, Joe.
What is it?
Grand jury, got an indictment out for Ty Burgess. I brung you the arrest warrant. Just a minute. Got it right here in my saddlebag.
I don't want it, Sandy.
Thought you wanted, Burgess.
I do.
Well, then I
just hold on to that warrant. I can't serve as long as you got it, so I can serve Mr. Ty Burgess something else.
Just what you figuring on serving him?
Something real special for the occasion. Now, you just mosey on into Trade Rat and look around for me.
Where are you going?
Wherever these tracks down there take me.
Well, are you getting something again hanging, bringing Burgess in legal-like?
Nothing. But I sure got a lot against letting him go if there's an acquittal.
Yeah, I never known you to be agent. to be against a fair trial.
Not against it one bit. Fact is, Ty Burgess is having a fair trial. Fair as can be.
I see.
Him or me.
Yeah, I guess I see that.
Now, go on into trade, Rat, and...
No, I don't think so. I think I'll just go on along with you.
Well, suit yourself. Only don't interfere. It's my fight.
Oh, not me. I'm not the interfering type.
I might warn you there'll surely be a lot of lead slung.
Yeah, well, I guess that as much.
Ty Burgess is no bad shot.
Yeah, I know that, too. I'll come along.
All right, Sandy, you just joined yourself up with an Apache war party.
Apache?
That's right.
I don't understand.
You will.
Man sure leaves an easy trail, don't he?
Uh-huh.
You ask me, he don't care. He's riding hell fit for the Rio Colorado. He's going to be out of the state before you even get a sight of his dust.
No, I don't think so, Sandy.
Well, you sure don't seem to be in no hurry.
Lots of time. Be dark soon. No sense catching up with him in the dark. Fella needs shooting light.
Yeah, blowing up kind of windy.
Whoa. Hold up, boy. Just look at these tracks, Sandy. Swinging southwest. You see, he isn't heading for Colorado at all. He's got a grudge to settle up with me for beating that I gave him. I was counting on that. He can't leave the state till he settles up the score.
Yeah, you're a thinking man, Joe.
You know what Mr. Burgess is going to do now?
No, I don't.
He's going to swing around the spur of Sheephole Mountain there and go on into Morongo Pass. That's where he'll make his stand.
If that proves so, Joe, I'd say you're uncanny.
It'll prove so. Indian blood says it will.
Huh?
Maybe I never told you. My grandmother was half-breed Mojave Apache. Oh. Hold up, boy.
Hey, what's that, Joe? Sandstorm coming.
Yeah.
Coming this way, black as fuel.
Come on, make for the foot. Drove our spurs into our mountain race for the shelter of the foothills. But the sand cloud spit after it like a dam, biting and stinging and choking out our breaths till it was all fire. Certain it would catch us all full right in the open. Wasn't much a man could do, knowing he's going to get caught full in the blast. We dismounted, unsaddled our horses, and killed them. Then pulling the saddles over our heads, we crouched in the lee of the carcasses till the storm blew over. 11 hours later. Next morning, we found a water hole in the Sheephole Mountains and washed up.
Lead slinging, you said. You didn't say nothing about this.
I didn't ask you to come along.
Well, now look at my eyes. Still hot as a branding iron. Yours don't look so good either.
Don't feel so good either.
Well, come on. Let's walk on into Canyon Springs.
No, you walk on in if you want, Sandy. Yeah, I think you should.
I don't understand. How do you mean that?
I mean Ty Burgess isn't any better off than I am. He wasn't so far ahead. He caught the sandstorm, too.
Yeah, you can't follow no tracks now. Won't be any.
I don't need any. I know where he is, or soon will be. Morongo Pass. Hand me that canteen.
Yeah, there you are.
Yeah.
Something real wrong about this, Joe.
Is it?
You ain't acting like no sheriff.
I'm not a sheriff, Sandy. I'm Jack Murdoch's older brother.
and an Apache.
Mind if I ask you something?
Go ahead.
What are you planning on doing to Ty Burgess, assuming you can catch up with him?
Sure you want to know?
Yeah, real curious about that. Give me a drink, will you?
Well, Sandy, all I'm going to do is peg him outside Apache style, then run a buckskin through a rattler's tail.
Oh, Joe, come on into Canyon Springs with me.
Can't do that, Sandy.
You ever hear how come Ty Burgess got so fearful of snakes?
No.
Well, the way I hear it, he happened onto a water moccasin, curled on a bank in the sun, and looked around for a stick to kill. He picked up what seemed to be a 2-foot section of dried willow limb. Weren't another moccasin stretched out at full length?
Very interesting.
Yeah, threw it away before it had time to waken and strike.
That's too bad.
Now, don't get me wrong, Joe. I know Ty Burgess is a killer. I ain't taking his side. He did Jack in on purpose, and there's no question there. But, you know, still, there are ways and ways, and you've got to go after him. Take a warrant.
Somehow I can't do that, Sandy.
Oh, you get through with that work you're planning, you won't be sheriff no more. I thought being sheriff was your big ambition.
Sure was, Sandy. Worked 13 years for it. Don't much feel like giving it up.
Take the warrant.
Somehow I just can't, Sandy. That 1/8 Apache in me has other ideas.
Okay, Joe. I'm going to leave you now. I'm taking the warrant on to that deputy in Canyon Springs.
Up to you, Sandy.
Yeah, but we'll both be back out as soon as possible. And I'll sure be puzzling all the way about he's going to have to arrest.
Sandy James spat in the dirt and turned from me. I watched him walk off toward Canyon Springs, taking the warrant with him. I watched him till he was gone, then turned to other things. My carbine was useless for the sand, but the holster, given my revolver good protection, that was enough. With it on my hip and the water canteen slung over my shoulder, I started the long walk through the heat of the day for the Morongo Pass. Evening was coming out, and when I saw Ty Burgess's horse at the head of the pass, like me, he'd had to kill him because of the sandstorm. And that told me I was right. Mr. Burgess was holed up there waiting. The question was, where? I scurried along the rocks real careful, knowing I had to expose myself just enough to draw his fire so I could get a line on where he was holed. Two revolver shots told me his rifle was out of commission also, and that he was hiding near the abandoned Lucky Johnson mine shaft. Happy to see you waited, Mr. Burgess.
That's all right, Sheriff, but I was about to despair.
That's so?
I was afraid that little sandstorm had changed your plans.
Not me, Mr. Burgess. I persevere.
Well, I'm sure glad, because my face still pains me where you worked it over, and my stomach will never be the same.
Now, I enjoyed that work, Mr. Burgess, but I declare what's coming I'm going to enjoy even more.
Nah, I don't think so, you mongrel Apache. You're not going to peg me out in front of no rattler.
We'll see, Mr. Burgess.
We sure will.
Twilight upsets a man shooting, doesn't it?
It might.
Of course, some men are real good at shooting at sounds. Would you be one of those?
Come on in a bit closer and find out.
Of course, we could wait till daylight, Mr. Burgess. Play doggo through the night and wait for the sun. How do you feel about that?
No, I'm for settling it right now.
Fine with me. Only thing is, I got a little concern.
I can't kill you if I shoot. I might just do that by accident, and that'd be a shame. I need you alive.
Your problem, Sheriff.
That's so, but I figure I can work it out. Don't forget you're up against Indian blood.
I don't forget nothing.
That's fine. Then you most surely can remember in detail how you once picked up a water moccasin thinking it was a willow branch. And I guess you also recollect how I said I'd find the biggest rattler I could and having play with you.
Talk don't accomplish nothing.
No, it sure doesn't.
What's the matter, Sheriff? Run out of gab? Now, come on, don't get so unsociable all of a sudden. Why, I'm most anxious to hear your honeyed voice.
Ty Burgess had a plan, that was sure. He was drawing me in, and that was all right with me, because I wanted him to make his move before it really got dark. Then suddenly went quiet. For a long, long moment, I didn't see a thing, but I knew his play was coming. Then I saw him. He was lowering himself down the mine shaft on the rawhide Rihanna, and I knew his plan. Drop down into the mine, race out through the north tunnel to the hill, and come up on me behind. I ran like blazes to the shaft to catch him just before he reached bottom, and when I got to the top of the shaft, I saw it. He was a few feet from the bottom, both his hands holding tight onto the Rihanna, his gun in his belt, and down below him, coiled to strike, was the biggest rattler I'd ever seen. Burgess looked up, saw me, looked down, saw it, and did the only thing he could. Clamped his legs together and dropped, hoping his weight and high-heeled boots will kill the reptile before it could strike. He missed the snake by a few inches. I put a bullet through the rattler and started down to see Ty Burgess. Deputy from Canyon Springs rode up then. I figured I might as well tell him what happened, and then the three of us went down.
He's dead. Real dead, Joe.
Yeah.
When did you say all this happened, Murdoch?
Just now.
Now? That don't seem quite right. A man don't die of a snake bite so sudden-like.
No, he doesn't. Come here. Take a look at this rattler. Oh,
I guess you can forget that 1/8 Apache business and go back to the matter of being sheriff once more.
Yeah, I can do that, Sandy. Fact is, I'd be pleased to. They say I made a pretty good sheriff after that, and I'm glad I had a witness or two to what had happened. You see, Mr. Ty Burgess didn't die a snake bite at all. He died of fright, scared to eternity by a rattler that had been dead a week.
You are standing on an unfinished roadbed somewhere in Mexico. It is night, and a drunken, murderous foreman is forcing you to dig till you drop. The .45 in his hand means that for you there can be no escape.
Oh,
This episode of Escape, broadcast date of June 28, 1953, is one of the lost episodes. The recording of that broadcast is missing.
You've been listening to American Radio Theater's recreation of Escape, 1/8 Apache. Was directed by Paul Favel. Christopher Conrad was the Escape announcer, a role his dad, William Conrad, recorded for Escape. Cliff Carpenter was Joe Murdoch. Kevin O'Morrison was Ty Burgess, with Steph Cardona as Ed, Ivan Curry as Sid and the announcer, Dave Parker as Sandy the deputy, and Robert Perks as the barkeep. Live sound effects by Pat McNally and Penny Swanberg. I'm Joy Jackson. This is ART, the American Radio Theater. For my second show, we journey backwards to another piece of magic recorded in 1993. It was my first old-time radio convention as a producer in charge of recreations and actors. Amazingly, we unknowingly recreated the whole Gunsmoke Saturday experience, taking the actors back 50 years to a happier time. It was my first experience with the radio version of Gunsmoke, where Dylan was this close to being a gunfighter. We had live sound effects that day by Stuart Conway. I was playing recorded sound effects and music from a tape deck that only had a manual counter on it. Did we know what we were doing? No. But the actors treated us as professionals, and the heart shows in this production. Episode number one from Gunsmoke was broadcast on April 26, 1952. Here's Herb Ellis as director and as Matt Dillon, and Parley Bear as Chester in Gunsmoke.
Dodge City, and in the territory on west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke.
The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. The first man they looked for and the last man they wanted to see.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. Wanted for murder.
Wanted for murder.
Clay Richards.
Clay Richards.
Age 31. Height 6 feet.
6 feet.
Eyes brown, hair red.
Eyes brown, hair red. Hey, how'd you like me to print this picture on these notices? Got a woodcut. Well, let me show you. Ernie!
Yeah?
Bet you marshal a copy of that front page. Interviewing Clay's wife yesterday. I noticed a tintype on the mantle. Your wedding photograph. First thing you know, I snitched it.
Very thoughtful.
Oh, yeah. I'll take it, Ernie.
Yeah, over here.
And then I propped it up in front of me and carved me this woodcut. Ain't she prim? Ain't she elegant?
Real elegant.
Well, good likeness, don't you think? Of course, he was 7 or 8 years younger
than... Yeah, it's a good likeness.
When the tintype was taken, he cuts...
Doesn't show what makes a law-abiding man like him try to rob a bank. Doesn't look like a man who murdered an old cashier and a Chinese cook who just happened to be there. But it's a good likeness.
Yes, sir, it is. A picture like this sure dresses up the front page, don't it?
A little masterpiece, Mr. Hightower. A notable contribution to the culture of Dodge City.
Well, thank you, Marshal. Does fetch the eye, don't it? I'm printing an extra 500 copies of this weekly, and I bet I sell them all. Too bad the cashier shot went wild, though. If he'd managed to kill Clay or even win him, why, I bet I could sell 1,000 extra copies.
We must be thankful for the blessings we do receive, Mr. Hightower.
Oh, I am, Marshal, I am. Oh, just before it happened yesterday afternoon, I didn't know what I was going to do to fill my column with, and then, like manna from heaven, 2 murders and a bank robbery.
Attempted bank robbery, Mr. Hightower. He turned and ran before he got his hands on so much as a dollar.
Dillon?
I'm talking business.
Reckon it can wait, Mr. Dillon.
All right. Print Clay's picture on these notices, Mr. Hightower. Now, where were we?
Eyes brown, hair red.
All right. Also known as Red. Bricktop. Sorrel.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't answer to no other nicknames, did he?
No, that's what they called him.
All right, then in big letters, $400 reward, dead or alive.
$400?
And at the bottom, apply Matt Dillon, Marshal, Dodge City.
Dillon, Dodge City.
Print 200 copies. Now, how soon can I send Chester over for them?
This afternoon?
Good. Good morning, Mr. Hightower. Chester.
I'm coming. Think them circulars will do any good? Richard's probably over the line into Oklahoma or Colorado, but now that's probably her own horse. He's the fastest in the county.
Chester, he has no money. He panicked and ran out of the bank before he got a penny. I think he'll try to get help from his wife or brother or a friend the first chance he has, maybe tonight. I say he's around here somewhere. Chester, I'm sorry I turned on you like that.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Dillon. Out all night with the posse, no sleep, man bound to get touchy.
No, it's not that. It's just the way... But it's the way people use a thing like this. The men riding posse last night, they enjoyed it as though they were hunting fox or possum. Hightower back there, he acts like it was a birthday tree, specially gotten up for him. Everybody finds a way to use it. What did you want to tell me?
I got a kid, a little boy, locked up in the cell. He run away from home back in Cottonwood. Ed Slade turned him over to me when he comes through on the stagecoach just now. Kid around 12 years old, I reckon.
Oh, who's this?
A widow woman's, Ms. Bonnie. She runs the boarding house in Cottonwood. Ed says the kid's always running away. Pretty wild, I reckon. He flagged Ed for a ride on the road halfway between here and there, and as soon as Ed seen him standing there with his bundle on his shoulder, he knowed what he was up to. So he told the kid he'd help him, and then turned him over to us when he got here.
All right, we'll send a telegram to the mother to come fetch him. Chester, why don't you come in and shut the door?
Mr. Dillon?
Chester, you're letting in every horse fly in Kansas.
Mr. Dillon, I think you better cancel the order for them circlers.
What?
Dutchman's coming up the street, leading his strawberry roan. Clay Richards is draped across his back.
Like a sack of wheat across the saddle. Last time I saw him 2 days ago, he was standing at the bar laughing his head off. A sack of wheat across the saddle. And followed by half the saloon bums and loafers in town. All right, Chester. Chester, make them keep back.
Yes, sir. Stand back, you fellas. Lay up. You get back.
Ziegler? Ziegler? How did this happen?
My goat. My old billy goat. He pushes open the fence last night and runs away.
All right, forget your goat. Now, what about Clay?
Yeah, I tell you. This morning, I go look for the goat. I walk here, there, under the river. I see Clay. He sits there. I say, hello, Clay. V. Gates.
You dirty Dutchman. You no good dog. Clay was your best friend, and he helped you buy your farm. So you killed him for the reward.
Now, all of you, keep back. Keep back, everybody.
Kill Clay? Me? No. My brother, he was like. We was in some war together. Better listen.
Ah, you killed him for the reward.
True. I killed nobody, not since Gettysburg. Clay is dead already. When I find him, I don't even own a pistol.
Ziegler. Ziegler, come on inside, quick.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Marshal.
Chester, here, give me a hand with Clay. Now, all of you, listen up. Shut up. I will not tolerate a disturbance, and you know me.
Chester, give me a hand here. Take his legs. Kick the door shut.
Marshal, I don't kill Clay.
On the table, Chester. Ziegler, what'd you do with Clay's gun? His holster's empty.
Gun? Clay's? I ain't got it. I don't even own one.
Chester, see if it slipped out while we were...
It didn't. His holster was empty coming up the street, first thing I noticed. Maybe it's back out along the road somewhere.
Uh-huh. Another customer. 3 in less than a day. Praise the Lord. A bountiful harvest. My fees this month will keep me in luxury. Luxury.
Doc, I want to have an inquest as soon as possible.
As soon as I finish the autopsy. Shouldn't take long with the practice I've had this week, huh? No. Late afternoon, all right with you?
Mm-hmm.
I'll take him up to my office right now. Thank you, Chester. I can carry him by myself. Just open the door like a good fella. Easy. Marshal, tell the city fathers I'd like to make a deal when the corpses are famous like this one. Back in 1953 in San Francisco, a feller I knew earned a fortune exhibiting the head of Joaquin Murrieta. Tell him to let me keep the remains. I'll do autopsies for nothing.
Shut the door, Chester. Ziegler, where is it you met Clay on the river?
By the ford. This side of the ford.
Why don't you ride out there, Chester, and see if you can find Clay's gun. Maybe he dropped it when he was shot.
I did not shoot Clay.
Sure.
I did not. I had no reason to. I did not.
Listen to me. Now, maybe you think Dodge has got so big I don't know everything that goes on. Well, if you do, you're wrong. If you think I don't know that the bank has an overdue mortgage on your farm, you're wrong. And $400 is reason enough for a struggling farmer like you.
No, I could not do such a thing. I am a human being.
To a peace officer, Ziegler, that's enough grounds for suspicion. But whether you did it or not will be decided at your trial. In the meantime, just stop yammering about it.
Trial? Me?
Yes. Even when I shoot someone, I stand trial. They find it's justifiable homicide, and they probably will, Clay being a wanted man, and you're let off. And if not...
Please, I am permitted to go now?
Go. Are you crazy?
My farm. The stock. I must look after it.
You sit right down here and listen. You want to be lynched? You trying to get yourself murdered? Have you forgotten Clay's brother, Adam?
Adam would not believe I shot Clay.
What difference does it make whether he believes it or not? His brother's been killed and everyone is looking to him to do something about it, and he knows it. You want me to guess where he is right this minute? He's in one of the saloons lapping up courage to come in here and ask me to give you to him for a present. And you want to know who's with him? Every loafer, every bum, every slob in town, slapping him on the back, telling him what a shame it is, egging him on to kill you so they can have some excitement, some fun. Well, maybe you deserve killing, but it's my job to uphold the law, and I'm not letting you out of here.
But...
You might spend your time trying to think up a better story. That is, if you intend to stay in this town. Now think back. Didn't Clay go for his gun before you shot him?
I tell you, I didn't shoot him. If I am not under arrest, you have no right to keep me here. I got to look after my farm. I go.
All right, Chester, lock him up.
Yes, sir. Come on, Mr. Ziegler.
Help and see me. Help and see me. Bitte help. Go to help and see me.
All right, come on. Step out. Sonny, this cage is bespoke.
Chester, who's in there?
A little old runaway kid from Cottonwood.
Oh? Come over here to me, son. Come on over here to me.
Get in, Mr. Ziegler.
I know who you are.
Oh, you do you?
You bet. You're Matt Dillon.
Guilty.
I knowed you right off. You just pointed out to me one day back home. Feller said you was the fastest gun thrower in Kansas.
Well, Wyatt Earp might be interested to hear that.
Feller said you was faster than Older. Faster than Wild Bill Hickok in Hays City. And Bat Masterson or any of them. How many fillers have you killed?
You don't keep score, Sonny. It's something you try to forget.
Not me. Someday I'll be famous like you, and for every filler I kill, I'll put a notch on my gun. People will see those notches, and they'll know better not to try me.
Say, why did you run away from home, Bub? I mean, don't you know your mother's likely to worry?
She won't worry. She's too busy working. You ain't gonna make me go back, are you? You wouldn't do that, would you?
Well, I...
Because it wouldn't stop me for long. I'd only run away again.
Oh, where are you off to in such a sweat?
Oh, Texas, California, Mexico. A man can accomplish things there. Not like living in old Cottonwood. If you let me go someday when I'm famous, you can tell people you helped me get started.
That's a pretty strong inducement, but I'll have to think about that for a while. But look, while I'm making up my mind, I want you to give me your word, the word of a man who'll be famous someday, that you won't try to run away from me. Otherwise, I'll have to have Chester lock you up again.
I'll shake on that.
Good. Chester.
Yes, sir?
I want you to go out and look for Clay's gun.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dunlap.
And on the way, Chester, stop off and send that telegram. You know.
What? Oh, yeah, that telegraph. Yes, sir, Mr. Dunlap, I'll do it.
Where's Siegler?
That's all right, Chester. You just go on ahead.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dunlap. Where's that murdering dog? Ah, there you are, you no good
dunce. Not a single step further, Adam.
I want him, Dillon. He murdered Clay, shot him down without giving him a chance.
Now, how do you know?
Because Clay wouldn't have let anybody catch him off guard except a friend. Friend. Dillon, give me that Dutchman.
Why don't you try to take him?
It's like that, huh?
Yeah, it's like that.
Then it's true what the fellas say. You made a deal with this Dutchman to give him the reward to protect him if he killed Clay for you.
That was the deal, was it?
Yeah.
Did the feller say why I made such a deal?
Now, Dillon, it ain't no longer a secret around town that you and Francie want each other. But Clay was in the way. You had him killed so you could get his wife. Do you deny it?
No. No, it'll serve as well as any other crazy story to work you up.
And Dillon, you think you're safe behind that star, don't you? Well, listen, Clay had friends, lots of them. And I'm coming back with them friends. And we'll get the Dutchman and you and anyone else who tries to stop us.
All right, Adam. I'll be waiting.
Yeah. You wait.
Whew. I almost seen something pretty just then, didn't I, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah. Almost. About another pint of whiskey ought to do it.
We will return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first, many radio shows win high popularity with the prizes and cash they give away. But there's one show that's tops because the head man gives away as little as possible. What other program could it be but The Jack Benny Show? So be listening. And now, with Herb Ellis starred as Matt Dillon, here is the second act of Gunsmoke.
Son?
You say something, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, why don't you open that drawer in front of you? You'll find a small bottle of oil. No, the other one there to the right. And bring a little brush, too, huh?
Here it is.
Why, thank you, Bud.
That's a right nice gun you have.
Yeah, it's not bad, just a little stiff. Little stiff here.
Don't it have a trigger? I never seen no gun without a trigger before.
Oh, you remove the trigger or you tie it against a guard. Then all you have to do is thumb the hammer. Like that, huh? It's faster. Yeah, that's better now.
Remove the trigger. I'll remember that.
What in the world for?
I'll remember everything you told me about the Texas holster and the spring holster and the double roll and filing off the sight, and then there's the...
Me, Mr. Dillon.
Any luck, Chester?
No, sir. Not none. Went to the store first and asked Mr. Denton what kind of ammunition Clay Richards used to buy, and he told me Clay had a double-action .44. I swear I scoured that riverbank a half mile each way from the ford and not a sign of it. I got that telegraph sent off.
Good.
You know who ought to be here pretty soon. It's only 7 or 8 miles from where that...
They're firing time.
No, sir. Funeral services for Mr. Grinnell, the cashier.
So soon?
Well, it's awful hot weather. He won't keep. Besides, Mr. Denton told me that Chinese cook's wife come in, bought 16 gallons of prime brandy.
We always consider them a sober people.
Oh, not to drink. She's taking the body back to China where he was born at, the poor feller. Always wanted to be buried there.
And the brandy is...
Yes, sir. Got him pickled in a barrel.
Well, beats me. Any of your guns need oiling?
No, sir, I don't think so.
You sure? When Adam left, he said he'd be coming back with some friends.
Oh, I know. I stopped at the Alfraganda just now. Kindly wrench out in the mouth. Little whiskey and sugar. Adam was there talking mighty ugly and mighty big. He's got a sizable following.
So when do you think?
Any minute now, Mr. Dillon. Want me to take Bub out of here to one of the hotels, maybe?
I
want to
see it.
I think you'll be safer here, Chester, behind stone walls than dodging about the streets rubbernecking.
All right, you keep your head down, son. You hear? There's a...
Matt!
She ought to be in mourning if she cared for Clay at all anymore. She ought to be in black. Even if the gossip is true and she no longer cared. Oh, Lord, to find her more beautiful all the time.
Matt, have you heard what they're saying?
What are they saying, Francie?
That you and me... That you made Pete Ziegler kill him because...
I'm sorry that got back to you, Francie.
It's all over Dodge. Adam almost strangled me before they dragged him off.
Francie, I did not shoot Clay. Francie, I beg you, believe me. Ich habe es nicht getan. Nicht. Er war mein Freund. Ich habe es nicht getan.
Shut up, Ziegler. Francie, it's just one of those crazy stories. They needed one and they made one up.
But Matt, everyone believes it. On my way down here, people were pointing, whispering, old women clucking their tongues at me. They believe it.
They'll forget it just as soon as this is over. They'll remember that even if we once did go with each other, it was finished and done with even before the war ended and before you even met Clay.
No, they won't forget it for the rest of my life, as long as I stay here.
Hold it a minute, Francie. Yeah, Doc. What is it?
Am I interrupting?
What is it, Doc?
Autopsy's finished. I examined his liver and lights.
This is Mrs. Richards, Doc.
Oh, I beg your pardon, ma'am. I'm sure I meant no disrespect for the departed.
Well?
Clay was shot all right, but from the nature of the wound and the coagulation of the blood, I'd say it happened sometime yesterday. I'd say the cashier's bullet didn't go wild after all.
Well, how could a dead man gallop away?
Well, the wound wasn't what killed Clay. The ball hit the rib cage and bounced off of .22 caliber, I think. What did kill him was the stab in the back, right through the spine. Inflicted sometime this morning, near as I can judge, by a small blade, 2-3 inches long. Could have been a Barlow knife.
Well, thank you, Doc.
Please accept my condolences, Mrs. Richards. You call the inquest anytime you're ready, Marshal.
Chester, close the door.
You see, I did not do it. I did not shoot him.
All right, then maybe you stabbed him. You said you never carried a gun. Francie, look, why don't you go home and give matters a chance to simmer down?
Matt, I'm going to ask you for something.
Yeah.
Turn Pete Ziegler out into the street.
What? Francie, they're itching to get their hands on him.
Let them have him. It'll prove that story's a lie, that you didn't make a deal with him. Please, Matt, I have to live here. Clear me. I have to live here. Matt. Oh, Matt, don't look at me like that.
Go home, Francie. Go home or leave town or hang yourself or anything you like, but just go away.
Matt.
Go away right now.
I bought me a half pint at the Alfraganza, Mr. Dillon. Would you like a swally?
No.
Guess funeral's over.
Well, there'll be others.
Funny. I miss that bell.
Mm.
Awful quiet, ain't it?
You ready, Chester?
I'm ready.
I'd use a shotgun if I were you. It's more effective when there's a mob to be dealt with.
Yes, sir, I am too.
Ziegler,
Brandon. And you too, son, if trouble starts, lie down flat on the floor and keep your head down all the time. Now, don't gawk to see what's happening. You understand me?
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
Dillon, come out! Dillon, come out!
Chester, I want you to stand here in the doorway after I go out where you can cover the back door and me at the same time.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon, I will.
All right, Chester, open the door. All right. It's my duty to warn all of you that you're in the breach of the peace. I'm sworn to uphold the law. I have killed men in order to do it, and I'm prepared to do so again.
All right, give us the Dutchman, Dillon.
Men, all right! I'm going to ask you to be sensible and to leave quietly. But if you refuse to listen to reason, if you insist upon being fools, if you're ready decided to act like wolves instead of humans, then there's nothing I can say to make you change your minds.
All right,
you want Peter Ziegler? He's not more than 20 feet behind me. Come and get him, any one of you. One at a time or all at once. Come on. Which one of you wants to die first? You? How about you, Adam? What do you say, Adam? You led them here. Don't let this star on my coat stop you. There, Adam, I'm not wearing it. Draw, Adam. Draw!
You all right, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah. You get his gun.
Well, I didn't even see your hand move.
Marshal, don't tell me.
Doc, one single funny remark and I'll knock you down. You just take him to your office and get to work.
Well, I never do mean to offend, Marshal. In my line of work, bodies, they're just so much lumber.
You make all the jokes about them you please, but not to me and not in my hearing. In my line of work, there's nothing humorous about death. Give him a hand, Chester.
No, I can handle him, Marshal. Thank you. Thank you just the same.
Can you direct me to the Marshal's office?
Well, right here, ma'am. I'm Marshal Dillon.
Well, I left Cottonwood as soon as I got your telegram. I'm Miss Bonnie. Where's my boy?
Well, we have him safe and sound. Here, why don't you let me help you down? Chester, would you hitch up the horse?
Got it.
Right this way, ma'am.
I'm sorry he put you to all that trouble, Marshal. Truth of the matter is, he's a wild one and no mistake. Takes after his father, one scrape after another.
He was no trouble at all. I enjoy children and I like having him around. Bob, your ma's here. Son? Chester, where's the boy? Did you let him slip past you?
No, sir, Mr. Dillon. He never got past me. Look, back door's open.
He's seen me and he hightailed it. The devil!
We'll round him up for you, ma'am. Don't you worry.
I don't know why I bother hauling him back. If he's run away once, he's run away 1,000 times. This time he ran because I wouldn't buy him a gun. He wanted a real one. That boy's just gun crazy, I swear. I got him a nice Barlow knife instead.
Barlow
knife?
But
I reckon it wasn't what he wanted, and off he runs.
Barlow knife? The kid, Chester. Find the kid.
Marshal, has he done something bad with it? I told him to use it careful. He promised he'd use it careful.
But there he goes now. He's on that horse out there. There he goes!
Never mind, Chester. He's got Clay Strawberry Roan. We'd never catch up with her.
I try to bring him up right. I tell him to be good. Don't listen. He just don't listen.
Well, you just calm yourself, man. Calm yourself.
He left his bundle, Mr. Dillon.
What? Here, give it to me. That's pretty heaven. Yeah. Hey, you better at the knots. You're better at the knots. Why don't you open it?
All right.
From the moment he was born, he's been nothing but tribulation to me.
Please, ma'am. What's he got in there, Chester?
There's a shirt, stockings, and a piece of sausage. Oh, and this. 44 double action. Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon. That's Clay's gun. Sonny didn't manage to keep it long, did he?
Well, if he wants a gun that bad, he's bound to get a hold of another somewhere, somehow. Chester, call Mr. Hightower over.
All right. Hey! Mr. Hightower!
Yes?
Come on over.
What?
I said come on over. Mr. Dillon wants you.
Marshal, could I have, please, a drink of water?
What? Oh, Ziegler, I forgot all about you, Ziegler. Chester, where are the keys?
Right there on the desk.
Oh, there we are. And it'll be safe for you to go home now.
I can go back by the farm?
Yeah. That's right. You can go back. I'll send for you for the trial.
Oh, Dankeschön. Dankeschön. Thank you.
Watch where you're going.
Oh, bitte, entschuldigen Sie, bitte. Oh,
yes, Marshal.
It appears we can do business after all. Get some paper and pencil. I want some notices printed.
Fire away.
Wanted for murder.
Wanted for murder.
What's the boy's name?
William Bonney.
Age 12, height about 5 feet, hair light, eyes blue.
Eyes blue.
I don't suppose he's known by any other name.
Why? No, everybody just called him Billy, or the kid.
Also known as Billy, the kid.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Herb Ellis, starred Parley Baer as Chester and Herb Ellis as Matt Dillon. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Walter Newman, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in tonight's cast were Harry Bartell, Richard Beals, Ann Whitfield Phillips, Doug Young, Paige Gilman, Frank Buxton, and Katrina Baxter-Hodiak, Bill Brooks, and Larry Albert. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Those longtime favorites, Amos and Andy, are rising to new heights in their CBS radio series on Sunday nights. Heard on most of these same stations, Amos and Andy find trouble as constantly as ever, and make it just as funny and as human as they have for more than 20 years. Be sure to hear Amos and Andy this Sunday, won't you? Right here on the Jack Benny Show. This is Harry Bartell speaking, and remember, there's a fast, funny quizzing on the Bob Hawke Show every Monday evening. This is the CBS Radio Network. This program has been recreated for the Rex Radio Showcase, all rights reserved.
Wow. Can we play this tomorrow night? And Monday? You busy Monday? Well, we're going to be here for the next 7 nights, so before we say goodnight, which soon, I would like to introduce again the recipient of our first award here, Mr. Parley Baer. My father, who's 40 years older than I am, so I did half the broadcast. Harry Bartell. My son, Dick Beals. With Paige Gilman. Let me see, where's Annie Whitfield? There she is, right there. We got Doug Young. And Katrina Baxter Hodiak. And Larry Albert and Bill Brooks. I saved him for last because he did such a wonderful job as our Dutchman, Mr. Frank Buxton. He really did. Thank you again very much. Oh, I'm sorry. We forgot all about Stu. Stuart Conway. Thank you. I'm sorry. And our engineering corps in the back. Thank you, guys. Well, that concludes all of this.
questions? Go ahead, Harley.
No, I was just going to say you've been a wonderful audience, and it's a great, great pleasure for all of us to be here in Seattle.
Is this where we are?
It's the third time today I've had to tell you, Seattle. Thank you for that award. And, you know, as you look up here, we've all been around until we're... the next step for us to make is embalmment. But you figure out there are probably about 1,100 years of radio past up here, and that way back to prehistoric times. The last of the radio dinosaurs. But it's been a pleasure to be here. Thank you for your warmth and your...
Thank you.
Gee, that's all the time I've got today. Thanks for requesting this piece of magic I called Gunsmoke. I enjoyed reliving it. Remember to come back to the Old Time Radio Marathon on August 30, noon Eastern to midnight Eastern. Hey, see you then. Over to you, Louise.
Okay, JJ, thanks a lot and great work. Well, folks, it is that time again. The MSS Express has reached the end of the line, so I am going to have to gently but firmly conduct each and every one of you off of the train. But don't worry, we will be back again next week, hooking you up with the most high-quality OTR surprises that are within our powers to produce. So, as usual, if you have any questions, comments, requests, or maybe even a complaint, please address them via email to mikeameli@earthlink.net. That's MIKEAMELI@earthlink.net. We will soon be releasing the key and turning over the room to you, the listening audience. Please do with it as you wish, for as long as you wish. But just remember, be nice to one another. Otherwise, myself and JJ will be coming after you. So, have a great night, a great weekend, and goodbye.